Bibles for a few minutes, and I promise I won't be long. Turn to the book of Jonah, and chapter number 2, and I'm going to get out of the way and let the next preacher come on and preach. And I appreciate you being here once again, and we'll try to get out of here in just a little bit. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not but 10 verses, and I'll read those 10 verses of Jonah chapter number 2. And then we'll share a thought with you and try to preach for a few minutes. The book of Jonah, chapter number 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." And aren't you glad that he does? "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. He said, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." God has a way of getting our attention. Amen. "The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple." God's done really got his attention now. He didn't have no desire to pray now. He's done got spiritual and religious. He didn't want nothing to do with God to begin with, and then everything went south on him, and he decided he'd try praying. Amen. And it worked. Yes. In verse number 9, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." There's that worship. Isn't that amazing? He didn't leave the same way he come. "I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Watch verse 10. It says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish." Isn't it amazing? God talking to a fish. "And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." I want to preach a message to you for a few minutes. I'm going to try to be as brief as I can on this thought. When it looks like you're all washed up, you can be seated. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we thank you once again for the privilege that we have to share your word. Lord, we don't take it lightly when we open up this blessed book. Lord, the sacred scriptures that have come alive to us, time and time again, how we have found in this well to be a place of refreshment, a refuge, a safe haven. Lord, when we seem to be drifting, it is a staff to draw us back into the fold. When we seem to be thirsty, it is a well of living water to quench our thirst. When we seem to be hurting, it is the balm of Gilead that soothes our pain. When we seem to be lonely, you are there to comfort us with your word. When we seem to be without any hope, you seem to find some way to cheer us up and give us hope for the future. Lord, I pray tonight for the next few minutes, Lord, that you would grab our attention as we focus upon your word and look into the life of Jonah. And Lord, as it looked as though he was almost, or looked like he was, all washed up. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that feels the exact same way that Jonah felt here in this story. Lord, there may be someone here who feels like they are finished, and it looks like they are all washed up, and nothing good is ever going to happen in their life again. I pray tonight, God, that you would find encouragement and strength from the Word of God. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do, for we know you're wonderful and you're glorious. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jonah, the life of Jonah, you're all familiar with Jonah, for we hear about it. From the time we're a little kid, we've heard about Jonah in the belly of a whale. A lot of sermons have been preached dealing with the life of Jonah. And we look at his life again tonight, and we see him in his downward journey
And a lot of times we leave church thinking what the results may be if we get out of the will of God. And if we miss the will of God, we realize just how bad our life can be. But not only do I want us to see the horror of missing God and rebelling against God, but I also want us to see God in restoration and God's ability. When it looks like your world is coming to an end, God is still able to restore you back to where you need to be. As we look at the life of Jonah, we see a progression in a downward fall. Notice with me in verse 3 of chapter 1, we'll see how he was departing from the Word of God. If you notice in verse 3 of chapter 1, the Bible says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We see him departing from the Word of God, for in verse 2, God had told him to arise and go unto Nineveh. Can I tell you, that's the beginning state of Jonah in his downward fall, was when he began to depart from the Word of God. And child of God, if you begin to depart from the true and living Word of God, you are ending up in a mess. You are going the wrong way. And that's what's happening to a lot of people today. They are leaving the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God. And their life is washed up because they disobeyed what God said. I find in my day, in your day, many people, they disrespect what God says. And they're turning from the true Word of God, wanting to go their own way. I don't know how it is down here, but in my way, there's many places selling out their King James Bible. And they're going their own way, and they're wondering why they're all washed up. And friend, I'm telling you, when you get away from that book, you're washed up. You're finished. You're done. You ain't never going to amount to a hill of beans for nothing if you depart from the Word of God. Jonah, in his progression, it began with a rebellious attitude to the Word of God. And if you're here tonight and you have a rebellious attitude to the Word, I'm not talking about somebody's tradition or their thoughts or opinions. All of that's hogwash, and I really don't care about what most people have to say. Have you ever noticed most of the time opinions are kind of like armpits? All of us has got at least two of them. Most time, both of them stink. And I'm not really interested in people's opinions. But I'm talking about turning from the Word of God. This Bible is true. It'll lead you in the right direction in the paths of righteousness. And Jonah's downfall, what led to him getting in a mess, was when he departed from the Word of God. Word of God, you would think Jonah wouldn't have done that. He had a testimony. His name means peace. Just because you've got a good testimony does not mean you'll never fall or depart from God's Word. I know many people that had a good testimony and they departed from the Word of God. And friend, he had a testimony of peace. His title, he was a prophet. He was a preacher. It's a shame and a disgrace of the preachers and the men of God that are departing from the Word of God today. I don't know about you, but this blessed old book is what the Holy Ghost used to draw me into the family of God. I love this Bible. God saved me through the precious Word of God. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word. And God help us, men of God, to stick true to the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. His title was a prophet, and he departed from the Word of God. His thoughts were partial. Why did he depart from the Word of God? I'll tell you why he departed from the Word of God. He did not want to see Nineveh get blessed. He wanted to see God pour His judgment out on Nineveh. He did not want that town to be revived and be restored the way God wanted to do it. And He said, I'm not going to go there. That's kind of like some of us Baptists. We look at Jonah and say, why didn't He want them blessed? Well, some of us are the same way. Some of us are the same way. We'll say, God bless you and Lord bless them, but just don't bless them as much as you bless me. Some of us, we get the pout and see God blessing somebody. Some of us, we get jealous if the preacher gets blessed too much or a church member gets blessed too much. We don't want God to bless people, and it causes us to depart from the Word of God. I've seen some people say, well, I can't go to church down there. Them people's blessed too much and they get jealous and that attitude will creep in. And friend, if you're in that shape, you better get away from it. You're on the route to being washed up in your life. I'll give you number two, and I got to move fast. I've got a short little message I want to give you. Departing from the Word of God. Let's notice how in his downward spiral he was disciplined by the wind of God. If you'll notice in verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah had no sooner departed from the Word of God till the wind kicked up in his life. And wind is symbolic to that of the Holy Ghost. And God was trying to direct Jonah and showing him that he was going in the wrong direction. And had Jonah realized what he was doing, he might have made a different decision. And I'm here to tell you tonight, thank God for the Holy Ghost that's directed me and you and brought warnings in our life to keep us in the direction we need to go. This wind, he was disciplined by the wind of God. This wind, it brought about conviction. But this wind brought about a confession. Jonah finally confessed as to what he was doing. The guys on the ship were scared to death. And they was worried. Isn't it amazing sometimes in our sin not only affects us, but it affects others that are around us. And Jonah was asleep in the bottom of the boat. He had gotten to the point to where his own sin didn't bother him. He had got away from God, departed from the Word of God. The Holy Ghost couldn't move him. And it took other people that was feeling the conviction of God and the sin in his life to wake him up in the bottom of the boat. And then he started to confess, and then it led to a correction in his life. Let me give you this third one. He was departing from the Word of God, disciplined by the wind of God, but he was digested by the will of God.
Yes, sir.
In verse number 17, the Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Yes, sir.
God said, okay, Jonah, you want to go to Tarshish? Have at it, but you ain't going to make it. I'm going to have a fish prepared to swallow you up. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to whether or not this was a real fish. It's hard for some to believe that man could stay in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. That God could create a fish that big to hold a man and keep him alive. Yet we put faith in man's ability to create a submarine and keep men alive for months and even years in the bottom of the sea. We put more faith in man's creation than we do God's creation. I want you to notice three things about this whale right quick. I want you to notice, first of all, how this whale had consumed him. This whale had consumed Jonah completely. He wanted to depart from the Word of God. And by the way, anytime you do that, you're bound to find trouble. And here was this whale, and this whale had been prepared by God to consume Jonah. Let me ask the question tonight. Is there anybody in here that's ever felt like you've had a problem that literally consumed you? You go to bed at night and you're consumed. You wake up in the morning and you're consumed. You try to go to church and your problems consumed you. You can't think about nothing else. You can't see nothing else. You can't smell nothing else. And it looks like your problem has consumed you. And you're never going to get out of the mess that you're in. And it looks like it's hopeless. Have you ever been there? It's no fun when you wake up and there's no hope in your life. Jonah was in the belly of this fish. Imagine the thousands of pounds of plankton that this whale was eating every day coming in, and Jonah was sloshing around inside the belly of this whale. Imagine the stomach acid that was inside this whale's belly, and imagine how that stomach acid would eat the hair, some said, off your head and off your arms. Imagine how bad this critter looked when he finally got out of that whale's belly. He probably didn't have no eyebrows or any hair on his head. And I'll be careful about the bald-headed jokes, because I see we're in good company tonight. Yeah, Brother Bowman preached on them three she-bears when they picked on bald-headed preachers. We won't go there this evening. We will leave that alone. But I imagine old Jonah come out of that fish, and he probably didn't even look like a normal human being. And imagine his hands was all wrinkled up. You know how it is when you've been in water for a while and how your hands start looking like they're 90 or 100 years old and you get wrinkles in there. And man, they just start looking. Imagine how his face had looked. Why? His problem had consumed him. And a lot of people say, well, are you really going through something? I tell you how you can tell when somebody's going through something. You can see it in their facial expression. You can tell them when they've been through something. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people today that's consumed by their problems. Notice how this problem consumed him, but don't you notice how this problem controlled him? Jonah didn't even have control of his life. He was in the belly of this whale, and he was kind of like a whale. They are mammals, and they have to come up to the surface ever so often and breathe. And this whale would go down to the bottom of the ocean, and then it would come back up, and you've seen them blow out the water, and they would breathe, and then it would go back down. So it's like he was on a roller coaster ride. He would go down, and then he would come up. He would go down and then he would come up. And Jonah, all because he was departing from the Word of God. And here he was, his life was now in a mess. He couldn't control his emotions. He couldn't control himself. He was out of control and he couldn't get out of his problem because he had no control of it. And Jonah here couldn't control himself. Notice how this problem not only consumed him, it controlled him. But it also changed him. God sometimes allows you and I to get into things to change us. And it looked like Jonah was all washed up. Here he was, a whale had spit him out on dry land. He had seaweed wrapped around his head. God didn't even give him time to get cleaned up. Here he is, he's in a mess, and he looks like he's done. But I want to share with you three things right quick, and I'm going to be done. When it looks like Jonah was all washed up, I want you to notice how God still heard prayers by him. If you'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Notice verse number 7. Says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple." I don't know about you, but it's good to know that when it looks like I'm finished and my life is done and it looks like I'm washed up, it's good to know that God will still hear your prayers. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And God can hear you, friend. Two or three things. God was caring enough to listen. When I ask somebody to do something and out of respect and they don't pay me no attention, I write that person off pretty much, pretty quick. God is not that way. Imagine if every time God told me and you to do something, don't look spiritual at me tonight. Hey, you don't always do what God wants you to do. We ain't always going the way God would have us to go. And friend, we write people off when they pay us no attention. But Jonah paid God no attention, and God still gave him the time of day and still cared enough to listen to him. You better thank God he don't treat us the way we do him. When it looks like you were all washed up, God still heard prayers by him. God was caring enough to listen. God was concerned enough to listen. God was close enough to listen. In the belly of that well, when you're there and you feel like it's all over, it's the darkest time of your life, friend, that's when God is the closest to you. You ain't in it by yourself. He's just as close as he's ever been. And you might feel like you're all washed up tonight, but there's a God in glory who has the ability to hear you regardless of the mess you're in. God could have said, Jonah, you got yourself in this mess, now get yourself out. I'm glad God's never told me that. I'm glad God's never said, you made your bed hard, now live in it. I'm glad God's been good at pulling me out of the mess of life. Friend, I've got myself in some messes, and God's been good to hear me when I was in a mess. God still heard prayers by him. Friend, it's good to know that God is still listening to you and I. Who are we that God would take time out of his day? He's clothing the lily in the field. He's feeding the sparrow. He's causing the sun to come up in the morning and to go to bed in the evening. Moon comes out at night, and the stars are twinkling at the command of a sovereign God. And the waves come in so far, and God says, stop every day. He clothes me and you. He feeds me and you. He's taking care of the possums and the tadpoles and the frogs and the deer and the turkey. I felt God right there. He's taking care of everything, and everything's listening to him. You and I disobey him and reject him, and yet he still takes time in his busy schedule of his day to bend an ear down to somebody that's backslidden and cold and indifferent on God. I'm telling you, you ought to thank God that he still hears your prayer. Well, maybe you ain't never disobeyed God. Maybe you ain't never got yourself in a mess yet. Keep living. You're going to. There's going to be a mess sooner or later. You're going to find yourself in a mess. And you ain't going to enjoy the smell. You ain't going to enjoy the sights. And you ain't going to enjoy the sound. That's why you better be careful if somebody says, well, they don't look just right. You better leave that person alone. They might have just got out of the well of a Bella, whatever it is. I done got it messed up. They might have just got out of the belly of a whale, and the life might be a mess. And friend, the only thing keeping you out of that whale's belly is the good grace of a sovereign God. Looking like you all washed up. God still heard prayers by him. Don't you notice in chapter 3 and verse 2, God still had plans for him. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Sometimes God's got to tell us twice. But he'll tell us. And then he says, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach. Most people would have done wrote that preacher off. You mean that's that preacher Jonah going to be holding a meeting here in Nineveh? I heard he's done disobeyed God, done turned from the Word of God. I done heard he's done committed some great sin. I ain't going to listen to a word he's got to say. He's all washed up and he's finished. Don't you notice the greatest work that God ever done in the life of Jonah was after he'd done made a mess and done made a mistake, and God can still use you even though you've messed up.
Amen.
Still had plans for him. And by the way, Jonah had more God on him after that than he'd ever had. Now, I don't mind a long sermon. I like a short sermon, Brother Bodner used to say he liked those KISS sermons. Keep it simple, stupid. And so, or keep it short, stupid. Maybe that was it. I don't mind a long sermon. I really don't. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I'm a very short-winded preacher. But I also don't mind a long sermon if God's in it.
Right.
But Jonah got up to preach. Nineveh was 3 days' journey across there.
Yeah.
It says when he was a day's journey, he didn't get a third across that city, and he started preaching. And he didn't preach but one sermon, and it was very short. It was so short, Jonah didn't preach but 8 words. There's a lot of times we as men of God think, well, I've got to preach 3 points, 5 sub-points, and I've got to have my point, and if I don't preach 45 minutes, a lot of times we're going to preach whether God's in it or not. And Jonah preached 8 words, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what happened? God brought revival. They shut the city down, sat down in sackcloth and ashes, and they begin to repent and ask God to forgive them of their sins. It's not about long sermons, but it's about obeying the will of God. And just because you've messed up, it does not mean that God can't use you and still do a great work with you, regardless of where you've been. 8 words. 8 words. And by the way, I was thinking about that. It doesn't say Jonah said it but one time. Yet a preacher can get up and say stuff today over and over and over again. Jonah said it one time. And God still had plans for him even though he messed up. What I'm saying is, child of God, you might be in a mess right now, and something might have control of you, and you might be consumed by something, and it might look like you ain't never going to be used by God again. Listen, friend, don't you give up on God. You keep praying. You stick in there, and God's got great plans for you. Matter of fact, your greatest work might still be yet to come. Let me give you this last and I'll be done. Not only when it looked like he was all washed up, God still heard prayers by him. God still had plans for him. In chapter 3, verse 5, God still helped people with him.
Amen.
Look at verse number 5.
Good.
So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. God still helped people with a life that had been messed up. And freeing all of our lives in here at some point in time has been messed up lives. We ain't always had a Bible under our arm. We ain't always had a towel. We always had on a suit. If some of y'all would have known me, though I wasn't a very mean man before I got saved, you wouldn't want nothing to do with me. If you'd seen my life and how it was messed up, and if I'd seen some of your lives and how you was messed up, some of you come off a bar stool, some of you come off of drugs, some of you come out of a messed up life, and look at you here tonight. I've done heard the stories about some of you, how your life was a mess, and now you're being a blessing to the people of God, and God has used you. Let God use you to be a blessing. I think one of the hardest things to do when you know you've messed up with God is to get over that fear of being around other people and letting God use you to be a blessing to others. Listen, there ain't nobody in here perfect. Ain't nobody in here got this thing figured out. Ain't none of us got any reason at all to stick our nose up now at anybody, point fingers at nobody. Ain't nobody in here that good yet. And friend, there's some of you in here, you've come from a messed up life and God's wanting to use you to be a blessing to somebody else, and you're too timid, you're sitting there and you're too scared to leave the beach, and there's nothing there but the whale and your problem, and all you're doing is looking every once in a while at what used to be and where you come from, and God's saying, I want you to go to Nineveh. There's a people there that I want you to be a blessing to. There's no need in staring at that whale.
No.
It ain't going to do you no good.
Right.
God's done got you out of that mess. Leave it.
Yes.
Our past is one of the hardest things to get away from.
Yes.
But watch this, and I'm done. You'll never be a blessing to nobody else until you leave that thing that had you consumed for all that time. And some of you can't be a blessing to nobody because all you can think about is where you come from and what you got out of and the mess you was in.